Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is KIX Explorer, Customizing Perspectives. Today's presenter is Bill Bolton. Bill provides a Level 2 worldwide remote technical support for the KIX Tools portfolio. Bill has provided a Level 2 support for KIX Tools portfolio since their introduction into the marketplace. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bill. Bill, you may begin.
Thank you, Dave, and welcome, everybody. Thanks for taking some time to hear about the way to customize perspectives in the Explorer. The reason I chose this topic is as more and more of you begin to download the Explorer and start to use it, the question has come up a couple different times from different clients as that have been using the KIX PlexSM web user interface. It's just exactly how do I customize and tailor the Explorer, you know, for my shop. Some users that have made no changes to the web user interface and others have made extensive changes using the view editor. So today we'll just look at what you can do with the Explorer to get it more of a custom fit for your needs. So Dave, let's go ahead and go to slide two. So what we'll do is we'll take because this is generally for beginning users of the Explorer, we'll take a quick overview of what the KIX Explorer is. We'll look at the supplied perspectives, and we'll define what perspectives are. And we'll look at some of the reasons to customize perspectives. Certainly, there'll be more than this, but just look at some of the ones that have come up recently. And then we'll actually get into how do you customize the perspective, what's the path you take. And once we do that, we'll look at some of the actions you can take with those perspectives, where you can dock it within the workbench, opening and closing, switching between perspectives, resetting them and restoring them. And then right near the end, we'll look at how you can enable the KIX Explorer for exporting and importing the particular preferences that you've customized. And then switching between workspaces, and we'll talk about why that'll be important. And then just a brief summary of what we've gone over. So let's go ahead and go to slide three. So the KIX Explorer is an Eclipse-based tool, and we use it for systems management. You can use it to connect to KIX TS for ZOS. With the latest, you can also connect to a KIX TS for VSE ESA to manage that environment as well as a single address space. It provides a way to manage one or more KIX systems. It provides some of the KIX PlexSM functions in the KIX platform. And it's definitely the integration point for KIX tools as we move forward with new offerings. If you connect to a ZOS system, you can connect as a FTP client, or you can also, if you have ZOSMF, the management framework, there's also a way to connect into that so you can actually look at active jobs that are out on the spool. You can manipulate your data sets, edit your data sets, look at your files on Unix system server, submit and edit JCL, et cetera. So it's a great exercise, and I often, when people want to know how to get started, I said just try to not use your 3270 emulator for a while and just see how long you can stay in the Explorer and manage your environment, and you'll be surprised that you can do quite a bit. Let's go ahead and go to slide four. So with the Eclipse environment, the KIX Explorer, a couple things you're going to see right off the bat is the workspace and the workbench. So the workbench itself really is the KIX Explorer, but when you go ahead and launch it, one of the first things it's going to prompt you for is a workspace. It'll go ahead and create a default one in your on Windows in the administration file path. And what the workspace does is basically just a folder to keep track of any preferences that you set and definitely some of the customizations that you make so that they're unique to that particular instance of the workbench. So if you were to start a second workbench, you could use a different, and then we'll talk about that near the end, a different workspace for keeping those preferences. The KIX Explorer Workbench is definitely the user interface for the KIX environment, and then any plugins that can install on top of it. So there's a set of KIX tool plugins, and there's also a set of PD tool plugins. So things like Fault Analyzer, File Manager, et cetera, have IBM Session Manager. They all have their own plugins to the Kix Explorer itself, which will give you different perspectives and things you can view and manipulate for your environment. The Kix Explorer itself comes with several perspectives, so you can access the environment. Let's advance to slide 5, please. So here's just a screenshot of what you might see once you have created one or more workspaces when you're coming up. So down in the lower right, I've got a little box around it highlighted that says use this as the default and do not ask again. You can check that, and then you won't get this pop-up each time. It'll basically just go ahead and come up in that environment. You can also set this up where an initial user may not see this at all. You can predefine where you'd like that workspace created for them. But you can go in there and you can either browse where you want to go ahead and put the workspace, or you can just select the one you have. Like in this example, I separate out my Kix Explorer and I change the path to the current level I'm using. So I've got 1.1.1.2. This one's for like a UAT environment. You go ahead and select that. You click OK, and then the Explorer would begin to initialize. Go ahead and go to slide 6, please. One of the things you may want to just either back up or depending on where it is you see in the path there. So mine is on my C drive under IBM Admin. The workspace folder is a Kix Explorer 112 prod. And then down into the metadata.plugins and then the org.eclipse.ui.workbench. This is where information about the workbench is sitting in this workbench.xml file. So if that were to get corrupted or trashed or something like there, that could be why you don't initialize properly or you don't get the preferences you'd like. So that's something that if you're going to do any backups, you may want to just back up even this entire folder periodically on your workstation. Let's go ahead and go to slide 7, please. So the perspectives. You get those, and you can create one or more. What they'll do is it's a layout. So if we just look at the default one, which is KixSM, when you open it up, it gives you just a few views that come out, and they're laid out in a certain arrangement on the workbench. And you may or may not like what you get by default. So we'll look at a little bit later what you can do to change the layout of these views. Let's go to slide 8, please. It can not only just give you views, but there's also some editors that are provided with the Kix Explorer that you can also include in that particular layout. When you first open it up, if there's a set of views that are not part of the current perspective, from the menu, you can go to Window and Show View, and there'll be a pop-up that will give you a list of all the views that are currently available to you. Let's go ahead and go to, and you can also do fast views. This is something we'll see a little bit later where you can decide that a view should be a fast view, and those are just things that are very quick access. It's like a quick drop-down bar, and you just click on them and go. Let's advance to slide 9, please. So the perspectives that you get when you download the Kix Explorer is you get KixSM, which is the default. So when you first open the Explorer, that's what's going to open up if you didn't have anything ever open previously. There's also a resource perspective. And the resource perspective is very similar to what you would get in just a normal Eclipse IDE environment. It provides you a folder, and you can create projects and keep track of resources, files, et cetera, that you want to use. There's an SM administration perspective. And this was introduced just basically as we know that there's a lot of functionality not yet enabled through the Explorer that you can do in the web user interface. So this is just the beginning of KixPlexes and CM to CM link definitions for CMASs, looking at some of the active workload views, et cetera. And then the last one that comes by default is the ZOS perspective. And this lets you take a look at data sets, files, jobs that are on the spool. Let's go to slide 10. So this is what you get when you just go ahead and open up your KXSM perspective. And at this point in time, you would have needed to create a host connection and a set of credentials that you wanted to connect with. But once you have your host connection defined to either a KIX PlexSM web user interface server or to an individual KIX system, and your credentials defined, when you open it up, you'll see the default perspective. So in the upper right-hand corner, it's called KIX-SM, and you see that that's what we have for our default perspective, and it's over on the right. And we'll see later on that you can actually make that open over on the left or on the top. In our very top, in the banner, one of the things just so that you notice is it's got the name of my workspace folder, so that's very handy. So in this particular one, it's the .kix explorer under bar 1.1.1.2 prod under bar 2 to separate out this environment. Just below the where you see the workspace folder are the menu actions. So we see starting over on the left you have file, edit, project, operations, definitions, search window, and help. You'll see that depending on your needs and the individual needs of users, you can add and remove various menu actions. The same is true just below that is the toolbar actions. So there you have flashlights for search, file save, et cetera. You can control what's going to be there based on the needs of the particular user within that perspective. Below that, with boxes around it, you see the basic set of default views. So for the KIX-SM default, it'll open up the regions view to show you KIX regions, the tasks, so you can see which tasks are running in those regions, the connections, terminals, files, transactions. There are many, many, many more views, but this is what opens by default, and this is what you can customize. Just below that, you see like a status message for the view. So in this one, it's CNX0211I. It gives me a context. In this case, the WJBCM410 is the name of the KIXPLEX, the particular resource that is associated with this view, this region view, is CICSRGN. That's the actual KIXPLEXSM base table name. And it'll tell me how many records were collected for this particular one. In this case, there's two that show up. You have the ability on the far right to that is a little drop-down arrow where you can go ahead and customize and add filters. So right now, the default filter is just a job name on the region view. You'll be able to go ahead and customize the view and add whatever filters you'd like for that. When you're working with 4.2 regions, you see here you have the sort option just to the left of the job name. And the sort lets you just do, A through Z, Z through A type sorting, and then a refresh button where you can refresh the particular view. Over on the far left, you have information about, let's say, server, M418. So that's the CMAS that this is connected to. So right off the bat, that tells you that I'm connected to a KIXPLEX SM environment. For a WUI server, I'm not in a standalone KIX region. If I were in a standalone KIX region, the view would only have a single KIX region here. I would never see two. Down here near the bottom left, you'll see is a status of the connect or disconnect. Right now, it's just a green circle. It would be a square box if I was not yet connected. The just to the right of that, where there's a drop-down arrow, it says WJBMS41A. That just happens to be the name of my connection, and that particular one is my web user interface server for the environment. And then above that, where you see message IZE0100I, that is a Zeos Explorer message that manages my connections, and it's just telling me my user ID, the host name, and port number where I am currently connected. And just above that, like properties here, when I'm on a particular view and I select it, the properties will tell me all of the individual columns that would be available to me in that CICSRGN table for the region. You can see just here at the top it says auto install details. All of this that you see here can be customized. I can add views, remove views. I can determine what columns I want to see in the view, what filters I want to add, and that's what we'll talk about in the slides to come. Let's go ahead and advance to slide 11, please. So why might we want to change these perspectives or customize them? They can be, may have different roles. So here I just highlighted a few. So you may want to have just things that certain operators see and only see based on the environment. So maybe for different production environments or user acceptance tests or even in a sandbox, they may want to see different things. Application developers may only need to see certain things. You may not want them to have the ability to define resources, or you may want them to define the resources. The system programmers may have a different thing that they want to see for themselves. So there's all kinds of different reasons and environments where you want to do this. And one of the earlier questions came up is someone had come in and said, I'm trying to figure out how to customize and edit these things. So I naturally went and clicked on the edit menu at the top, thinking that would help me edit the views in the environment, and I could not find a way to do it. And then they went over to the file drop-down, and so I looked at one of the wizards thinking, okay, maybe there's a way to do it in there. So when we went through and talked about how they could customize the perspectives, that there was someone suggested and says, that's not intuitively obvious to me without having to read through all this stuff. So that's where we are today. Let's go on to slide 12, please. So now that you've decided which different roles are there, you can also decide, if there's a particular perspective environment. Like you may want to have one just looking for storage. You may want to have one where it's only related to definitional stuff. If you have people that are just responsible for creating and modifying and updating definitions and they don't need to see runtime or do any other kick flex assembly administration, you may want to create a separate perspective for just doing that. If you wanted to look at workloads and just monitor the active workloads with that tasks, connectivity, if you want to just have a quick perspective that monitors all your connectivity activity and you don't want the busyness of the rest of the Explorer, those might be reasons. Certainly there'll be many, many others. Let's go ahead and advance to slide 13, please. So to get started, you have to go in there and save a perspective to create your own. So in this particular example, the one way you can begin to do this is from the window menu option, you go ahead and click on window, and in the KixSM perspective, you could go there and say save perspective as dot, dot, dot. When you click on that, you'll get a pop-up, and you can choose what you want to call this yourself. You may or may not have already rearranged the layout of the views or done some other customization, but to begin with, to get your own name one, you can just go ahead and say save perspective as. The thing that is also unique to the instance of the Kix Explorer that you're running is that the views and editors that are available, that you make available to a particular perspective, they're unique within the workbench and that workspace. So if I were to create a production perspective and a user acceptance test perspective, and in both of those, I decided I wanted the task view. That task view is one and the same in both perspectives. So the perspective switch within this instance of the Explorer is just a different layout, but the views themselves apply across all perspectives within that workspace workbench instance. Now let's go ahead and advance to slide 14, please. The other method of saving the perspective is if you just go ahead and right-click the perspective that's currently open. So I'm not over in the window menu drop-down. I'm actually putting my mouse on the KixSM perspective, and when you right-click on the tab itself, you can do a save as. And that way you can go ahead and give it a name in the pop-up that you want to save. Well, let's go to slide 15, please. So now that I've gone in this example, I save this as KixSM _prod_storage in this example. And now that I have it, it's basically a copy of what was in KixSM. And now I want to, if I want to change it, I would right-click on that new perspective, and I can click on the Customize right menu action. Let's go ahead and go to slide 16, please. When you click on the Customize, it's going to open up the following pop-up. So in this case, this screenshot shows that I was in a perspective that I called ZOS underbar UAT that I had previously saved. And there's four areas that you can navigate between on these tabs as to what you're going to customize. So the one on the far left is the toolbar visibility. So that's going to be like the flashlight, the file save, the various options that you can launch from the toolbar that are available within this perspective. To the right of that is the menu visibility. And this has to do with what you see across the top. So you have file, edit, search, operations, definitions, window, help. You can add or remove what is available to the user in the menu, options that they see. To the right of that is the command group availability. And what's available here will also depend on what other plugins are installed. So I think I have a couple of screenshots down later when you see like Kixner Dependency Analyzer, it'll have a set of commands available in the command group, and they would show up as selectable options that you could make available for certain commands. This option will determine what, when you click one of the menu actions that you've chosen, what commands would be available to the user. So if you don't use Atom services, or if you don't want the user to be seeing that as the first option every single time, you can just say, listen, we're not using those. I'll remove it from this perspective. And now when they go ahead and click on operations, that won't be the first thing they see. Lastly, over on the far right is the shortcuts. When you click the menus up at the top, there's a little arrow in there. You can have cascades of commands that just to basically shorten the view so it's not so long when you go to look at it. So you can customize the shortcuts, the contents you see there. Down in the bottom left, there's a checkbox there that says Filter by Command Group. And when you're looking at the toolbar or the menu visibility, when you click on the Filter by Command Group, it just gives you a different view of the commands in a different tree hierarchy based on where they are logically associated. So you can either check that to see them grouped in a tree, or you can just not check it and see them just in a long drop-down list. Let's go ahead and go to slide 17. So in this one, we're over on the second tab for the menu visibility. So this is the options across the top. So you see in the menu structure there in the center, I have file, edit, project, multiple different operations depending on what command groups might or might not be available to me. And in this particular example, so I'm working on a KickSM prod storage one, I may not want my user to see a project. He doesn't have a need for it in this particular perspective. So I can go ahead and you see it's not selected there at all. Maybe I don't need them to look at definitional objects. So that's taken away. And if I were to click OK and save this, when I looked at my workbench and I was in the KixSM prod storage perspective, the project and definitions menu items across the top would no longer be displayed. And this is where you start to get into making the Kix Explorer yours, making it more useful for the individual users so that they see just what they need or what options you want them to have access to. Let's go to slide 18, please. So here's another example. So now we're over here on this storage view, and you see the top-level menu structure is got color filled in, but there's no checkbox in there. What that tells me is that I'm not allowing the full set of operation options to be available to the user in this perspective. But the fact that it's filled in means that when I open it, I'll see the ones that are checked, and that will tell me what operations are going to be available in this perspective for this user. So in this case, they wouldn't see Atom services or bundles or bundle parts, completed tasks, corporate services, et cetera. I just checked the high level for dynamic storage areas. These are the things that would be available within this perspective only. And user wouldn't, when they click their operations, they wouldn't see all these. And this has been probably the one that's been asked about the most is individuals asking, say, I don't, when I click the operations, I get this huge drop down, and I may not want to use or see half of what's there based on what I need to do. And this is where you would customize those and save them for what you need. Let's go to slide 19, please. So in this example, I wanted to go in there in this particular perspective, was called DB2 Prod 1 workload. Go into the menu visibility, and I can't select my DB2 commands. I can't see my actions or my connections or my entries to the DB2 transactions. If I go to click on it, I get a little pop-up that says DB2 cannot be made visible because it is in the unavailable KixSM action set command group. Would you like to switch to the command group availability tab? If you click on yes, it's just going to switch from menu visibility right next door to the command group availability. And in there, you can enable the KixSM action set of commands. And when we come back, we'll see this on the next slide, we'll now be able to go ahead and select those. So if you go in and you can't see something, you really need to go over to the command group availability and make sure that the command action sets are enabled that you want to be available for the menu structure. Let's go to slide 20, please. So over here, I've gone and in the command groups, I checked the KixSM action set and made it available, and it would show me that in the menu bar, those options would not be available to me, the DB2 connections, entries, and transactions. So now let's go to slide 21. So now when I go back to my menu visibility, because I've enabled that action set, I can now go ahead and choose those particular entries, click OK, and they would be available in my menu. Let's go to slide 22. So in this particular example, we're looking at a particular layout for a DB2 workload. And I decided to use two different sets of command actions. I pulled in part of the administration, the KixSM administration action commands, because that's where my workload management views are. Like in this one, WMA work would show me the active workload, the workload spec name, which CMAS owns that workload, any affinities, et cetera. There's a, you know, multiple different workload views you can take a look at. So you can look at the active workload definitions, the active transaction groups in a workload. If I were to click on one of those, you see down here at the bottom in the properties, I could see the admin criteria, the admin threshold health that were set in that particular WLM spec. So these are part of the SM administration command set of views. Over in the bottom right, now I have some DB2 views, the connections, transactions, and entries. And these are tied back to the KixPlex context, but they're part of the KixSM action set. So when I went in to customize this particular perspective, I added all of those. If you look up at the menu bar at the top, though, you'll see that I have File, Edit, Project, Operations Definitions, Operations Definitions. But I don't want that. I may want that. But in this particular one, it's because I have two of these action sets enabled. They both show up here. I can go back into the perspective customization on this thing, and I can disable, if I don't want the SM actions to be showing up here, I can disable that action set, and the first operations group is going to drop off. And then I would just see something that made more sense to me. But I can go ahead, once I've got this set up the way I want, so I have a mixture of WLM views and DB2 views all on the same layout of this particular perspective, I can save it, and now it's available to me. Let's go to slide 23. You may or may not want to, once you have one of these set up, maybe you don't want some users to be able to modify them. One of the things I can do if I go back into the menu view is I can see on the window action, I may want to still leave the window there so that they can open perspectives, but I may not want them to be able to save perspective as. I don't want them to create another one, so I could just go ahead and uncheck that, and when I do OK, look down in the below, now my options on the window, I have open perspective, show view, but the save perspective as is now gone. I took that particular option away. So you have control over what these drop-downs will allow you to see as well, which is also very handy when you want to start customizing. Let's go to slide 24. The last tab, the shortcuts, these just control the cascading menu. So in this particular case, these three, the connection definitions, the entry definitions, and the transaction definitions were chosen. If you clicked OK on that, let's go to slide 25. Now, when I go to my menu and I click on definitions, I don't see anything except DB2. And when I go click on the arrow, my shortcuts to show me these three options, DB2, connection definitions, entry, and transactions. So if I don't need, in this particular perspective, to have the user see every definitional thing you could do, if I just wanted them to look at DB2 definitions, that's all I could put in the definitions menu, and that's all the user would see in this particular perspective. Let's go to slide 26. The next set of slides will just be looking at some of the actions that you can take on perspectives, whether they're customized or not. When you first open up the Explorer, the perspectives are docked over on the right. So as you see here, we have KicksSM, and then we see resource, and then you see a couple of two arrows. And all that's telling me is that if I were to drag this a little bit over to the left, I would see more perspectives over to the right. The other thing I have is I highlighted just to the left of KicksSM is that grid box, and that is a right-click option to open more perspectives. And I'll get a pop-up box with a list of those available to me. If I were to go in and right-click and click on the dock on, it'll open a shortcut menu that says, where do I want it to go? So you see this little button here that says the default's top right. If I were to click on top left, then when you look down below, now my perspectives are not over here on the right anymore. They've now shifted over to the top left. So that just is, again, depending on how the user feels the most comfortable in navigating, whether they want to see it on the right or the left, they can go ahead and control that. Let's advance to slide 27, please. So when we come in here and you say, if you were to look at the window open perspective, the ones that are listed here, so at the top are KicksSM, KicksSM Config Manager, Deployment Assistance, Transaction Gateway, Resource, and then SM Administration. The ones that will show up here are ones that I've been to recently. So it remembers the ones you've just been opening up, and you'll see them in the selection. If you don't see the perspective here, if you were to click on the other, you'd see a pop-up of all your available perspectives. Let's go ahead and go to slide 28. So in here, when clicking on Other, now I see there's that KicksSM prod storage that I created. You also see up at the very top, we'll get to this a little bit later, you see another one called KicksSM prod storage, and it's got some angled brackets around it. Every once in a while, if you get yourself where you created something and not saved it properly, or it's trashed. Basically, this is an unusable perspective. I'll show you how to get rid of this later. This has come up before questions where people say, I've got this with angled brackets around it. How do I get rid of it now? Let's go to slide 29. And here's just a screenshot of the SM administration perspective that just shows you the by default, you see your KicksPlexes, your CMAS details, the MAS view, the managed regions, and workloads that are available to you. Let's go to slide 30. This is another question that's come up from years before that just don't like to click their way around everywhere. They, you know, ask about what shortcut keys are available to me. In the window preferences, or if you just do a Control plus Shift plus L, you'll get a little pop-up, and it'll show you the default shortcut keys available to you in the Kix Explorer. I just highlighted here the ones we'll use for this is that you get Control plus F8 gets you to the next perspective, and Control Shift F8 gets you to the previous perspective. So if you had a range of them open, you could just go ahead and keystroke how you go through the different perspectives. Let's go to slide 31, please. The next thing that users want to do, and in this particular case, I've enabled some Eclipse capabilities into the Kix Explorer Workbench. So now when I'm in my window preferences, if I go down, I'll see keys. And this goes ahead and lets me create additional keys and shortcuts that are useful to me. So in this particular example, I wanted to have one that would just go ahead and show the KixSM prod storage perspective I created, and I went and assigned down here where it says binding, Alt plus P plus S. And when I go to go ahead and click on that, it would just go ahead and show that perspective up. Over on the right, because if you get carried away with doing a lot of these, it'll show you when there's conflicts and what do you want to happen. If you wind up having multiple shortcuts going to the same, or not to the same, but to different environments. Let's go to slide 32. And here's another one I created. So I didn't have a quick way to go ahead and close this KixSM prod storage perspective. So I went and assigned the Control plus P and Control plus S to say go ahead and close that perspective. Go to slide 33, please. Now when I do Control plus Shift plus L to view my shortcut list, I can see here's the new shortcuts I created and added myself to that list. Go to slide 34. Here we'll just see how do you go ahead and change the default perspective. So when you open the Kix Explorer and launch it, and if you had closed everything when you left, what's going to open? So KixSM is the default. In this example, we go ahead over into the preferences, and under Eclipse Platform, where I have the one there, there's perspective. So if you click on that, it'll open up to this particular pane. And in there, I can go ahead and select another one. So I pick KixSM Prod Storage. And then you can click on Make Default. Then down to number 4, Apply. And then 5, OK. And then down the lower left of the slide, you'll see now KixSM Prod Storage has left paren, default, right paren. That's my new default perspective for this instance of the workbench. Let's go to slide 35. Just another thing that's come up is you cannot you have a delete button when you're looking at perspectives. The supplied perspectives that come with Kix Explorer, you cannot delete them. When you select them, the button is grayed out, so that just keeps you from getting rid of the environment we supplied. Go to slide 36. So here I have a KixSM prod storage perspective with ankle brackets around it that is basically an unusable perspective to me, so I just wanted to get rid of it. So now when I go ahead and come into my preferences for perspectives, I click on that, and now my delete key is enabled, and I can go ahead and delete that unusable perspective, click on 4 for apply, and then 5 for OK. Look at slide 37. In this particular example, I just took the default KixSM perspective, and I dragged the transaction view tab over here to the left. That's something you can do in the Eclipse Workbench, is just go ahead and move these around to change the layout. And then I went in and I had right-clicked on the supplied perspective and said Save As. And usually there you'll get a pop-up and says you're going to overwrite an existing perspective. And you can go ahead and say, yes, I want to overwrite the existing perspective because I just changed the way it looks for me. Let's go ahead and go to slide 38. So now I want to go in there and I want to reset it. I don't want that transaction definition tab over in the bottom left anymore. I come into my preferences. I go ahead and select my KXSM perspective, which is my default. And now I have the option on 3 available to me to do a reset. So I do reset, go to 4 and do an apply, and 5 and OK. And now that transaction definition view will no longer be on the bottom left corner. Let's go to slide 39. Another option you have when you go in there is to restore the default perspective properties. So in this particular example, when we are in the perspective, right under here where it says fast views, open a new view, the default is that comes with KIX Explorer is within the current perspective. If you change that radio button to as a fast view, where you wanted to open the perspective from a fast view, and you checkbox the other option that says hide empty fast view bar, and the KIXSM prod storage was the default perspective to open when you started. If you click restore defaults down here at the bottom, and then OK, now on the bottom left hand of the slide, you'll see that the radio button for as a fast view is now back to the default within the perspective. The hide empty fast view bar is now unchecked again, and KIXSM is now restored as the default. So that's just a way when you have been customizing and you decide, you know, I need to just, you know, I don't like what I did. I just want it to go back to the way it was as I got it. That's what the restore defaults will get you. Let's take a look at slide 40. This is where we'll look at how you switch between perspectives. The simplest way, of course, is you just, when you have multiple open, is you click from one to the other, and you'll just switch between them. The other way is the shortcut key, so we go ahead and use that Control F8 or Control Shift plus F8 to go forward or backward. Go to slide 41. When you enable the Eclipse capabilities within the KIX Explorer workbench, you'll notice that up here in the left nav we have Eclipse platform. It says capabilities, network connections, and you see perspectives. Then down lower, you see the general option, and this was provided when we enabled the Eclipse capabilities. You have another perspectives option. If you click on it, it looks just like the one from up here, except now this radio button where in the KIX Explorer supplied perspective, you can't select this radio button to open in a new window. It's because we need to keep those views within the workbench container so that they can connect, because the connections are anchored in this instance of the workbench. But if you use this perspective, which I would say don't do, and it'll let you click in a new window. Let's go to slide 42. And it'll go ahead and let you launch, but when it launches, you'll see I'm not connected, and I also don't have any option to connect. So I can open this in a new window, unanchored from the current workbench, but I can't connect anything. So that's why you'd want to not choose that option. Let's go to slide 43. Once you have created multiple different perspectives in the way you like them, if you're the administrator making the decisions to do this, what you might want to do next is go ahead and export some of these so that you can go ahead and let other people import them from someplace else. In the default KIX Explorer preferences, what you can export is you can export your connections, your host connections. These preferences are everything else. So everything else we've been customizing, if we go into the window preferences and go into Eclipse platform and click on the Eclipse capabilities that I've got circled there with number 2, then click a 3 apply and then 4 OK, it's now going to provide an option for me to export and import preferences that I didn't have before. So over here on the right on step 2, I would go back into my KIX Explorer after I've done this, go to Window, Open Perspective, and either if the resource isn't there, you would click on Other. Let's go to slide 44. Here we're choosing the resource perspective, and that's where we're going to do this from. You'll notice over in step 4, now my resource perspective is the current perspective. in the Project Explorer tab, if I go into the white space, like under where it says Interdependency Analyzer Queries, I now right-click in the white space, and I have an option that wasn't available to me prior to enabling those equipped capabilities, and that's Import and Export. If you click on Export, now I can actually go ahead and get a pop-up and save my preferences that I've customized with all these perspectives just out to a file that I can then import later. Let's go to slide 45. When I first mentioned the workspaces, one of the things that you need to do is switch between workspaces when you want to separate environments, you know, in this example, production, non-production, or it could be anything else. And the reason is, again, the views within the perspectives, in this instance, of the workbench are unique. So when I'm looking at job names or I'm looking at file names and they're different file naming conventions between production and non-production, I'll create my filters, I'll put in my generic or wildcarding names for the particular regions or files, et cetera, that I want to see, save that perspective, and that view within that perspective now has saved those filters with those filter attributes. If I switch to a new workspace, I can then go ahead and import the preference that I exported, so I could go from production to non-production, pull in all those modified or customized perspectives with their views and the naming conventions and the filters. I can now change those filters to match the naming convention for the appropriate environment, production or non-production, and then go ahead and save that perspective there in a separate workspace. Now, when I switch between workspaces, the Explorer will end and restart, but now when I open up a particular perspective, it'll tell me, it'll be pre-filled with the right filters for that environment with the naming convention. Now let's go to slide 46, please. So just a summary. We looked at just a brief overview of the KIX Explorer and some of the nomenclature that makes up the workbench and workspace and the perspectives. We looked at the supplied perspectives that come with the KIX Explorer, the KIX-SM, SM Administration, Resource, and ZOS perspective. We just talked about a few of the different reasons you might want to customize perspectives based on the role of the user. We looked at customizing perspectives, basically right-clicking on that perspective tab, choosing Customize, and then arranging the available menu actions, the menu the toolbar actions, and the shortcuts, and the operations and definitional action commands available to the user. We then just looked at some of the options, the actions you can take on the perspective as far as opening, closing, resetting, restoring, the defaults. We looked at how you can export the preferences once you've created multiple different perspectives. And then lastly, switching between workspaces in order to make use of the filtering capabilities for the unique environment where you're going to use the Explorer. Let's go to slide 47. And that concludes what we'll discuss today. Here's some additional WebSphere resources that you can learn about other WebSphere support technical exchanges. You can see ones that are coming up. You can go ahead and click on the tab that will show you some of the previous ones that have been done. There's also a link here to DeveloperWorks where you can find different webcasts and podcasts and technical papers on different environments. There's also a link here to the IBM Education Assistant, and that's got some very good tutorials on the different products that are available, and then a link on how to use the service request tool to open either questions or problems to IBM. And then lastly, a link to receive the My Notifications email so you can get flashes on CICS tools products or any other products you need. Thank you for coming today and for listening to this, and I'm going to turn it back over to David.
Thank you, Bill, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing. subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list, simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Don, we would like to open the lines for questions.
The first question comes from Mike Giuquinto. Your line is open.
Hey, Bill. Mike, how are you? Nice to hear from you. You did a great job.
Thanks. Go ahead. Ask away.
All right. Topic wasn't really covered in the presentation, and it's not a feature that has been available, and even at impact conferences and such, I haven't been able to get a good answer for this. So the ability to print or cut and paste is sorely missing. I frequently might view a list of programs or regions or whatever it is that I'm looking at through Explorer and maybe put them onto a spreadsheet, or I want to assemble a list, or maybe send it off to an application group. And cutting and pasting using a bitimage isn't practical. I had heard and haven't yet been able to find that there might be an Explorer-type plugin that provides print and or cut-paste capabilities. Do you know of anything like that or of anything coming in the Explorer product or just something I'm totally missing that allows that?
I haven't tried it, but in the back of my head, I thought that there was something in the Kix 5.1 Open Beta Explorer that enabled print and cut and paste of different cells. But I will try it, and I'll let you know.
Great.
But that is definitely, you're not alone. That is a popular thing, I think, that's come up.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right. You're welcome.
The next question comes from Rob Fennec. Your line is open.
Hey, Bill. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, Rob.
Great presentation. So my questions are wrapped around the idea of trying to replace customized WUI views for an operations group with possibly Explorer. So I've got a series of questions that kind of relate to that. So we'd be looking for a common shareable perspective that could be auto-loaded for things. Is that something that's a possibility? Is there like an auto-load feature that would, at launch time, bring in a common perspective?
Yeah, so you could, if you had an operations set of people and you said, okay, here are the particular views and layouts that I want to see, and here is the filter that I want to apply. So if I'm looking at a set of tasks, and I have the task view, and I want to go ahead and say I only want to see transactions begin with P asterisk. You could build that filter in there and then save it. And then when those users, they would have to get that preference. So where you don't share the workspaces between users, because now if a user does change something, it's changed for everybody. So they would basically, you build it, export it to a remote file system or a place where they could download it from. And then when they bring up their instance of the Explorer, they would go ahead and you have their workspace, they would have those views, and they would be displaying and showing the data from using the filters that you had asked for and you built it. Now, if I didn't understand the question exactly for the auto-load, if you wanted to, like, auto-connect, where it would actually...
Well, no, it's... So with the WUI, people sign on, they can't modify the views, and they sign on, and everybody sees the same thing consistently over and over again. The actions that are enabled on the WUI views are consistent, and all they do is they sign on once to the web page. There's no extra actions. We have a menu for them. They click around the menus, the options they want, and I'm looking for equivalent functionality without someone having to start Explorer, change of perspective, that kind of stuff. That at the time they launch it, it goes, regardless of what they've done otherwise, it goes and pulls in this particular perspective so they have what they're supposed to have without any extra actions.
Yes, I think you can do that. You can also, I think, update the INI, the .kickasmore INI file that's used, so that when they open it, if you didn't want to have somebody import these initially, this is what they'd get, and it would be the preferences that you built. So you would have, if it was going to be you, you would build it the way you want, put it out there where they're going to launch it from. They still need their own workspace, so it could probably write something that doesn't have to be on their local system. It could be to a remote file, but they do need their own workspace. But they would come up with whatever you gave them as a shortcut, and that's what they would see.
Okay.
Another alternative to that, and I know one other place that's done it is using the Java Web Start, again, where you would control what this is. You would put this a file out on a web server with a download link, and then they would just click on it and get what you built for them.
Okay, great. So following along with that, you did a very good job of explaining all that kind of stuff and talked about the filters and having specific filters for a specific environment. So again, comparison to WUI features. So while in the Explorer you can move columns around, does the perspective now save if you were to add, remove, rearrange columns in a way that improves the screen real estate for the things that you're trying to look for and the elements that you're looking for on the left side of the screen and that kind of stuff? All the stuff that we use WUI views for to come up with the only required list of columns, and then having sort sequences and the ability to summarize and auto-refresh, that kind of stuff. Is that possible to save that stuff in the perspective so when the task view comes up, it's the 11 columns that we want and they're sorted in the right sequence as well as the filter? Possibly, even the WUI doesn't do this, being able to say, not only do that, but summarize it on this particular column and then set the auto-refresh on that summary, that summarized view. Are those things that are either in or a subset of those that are already in Explorer that I'm not aware of yet, or are those things that are coming?
There was a recent APAR, I think it just actually became available hopefully today in the 1.1.1.3 download, but I have to check it. There was a question about when you're not connected to the host and you start changing and manipulating the columns that you see in the views as to what happens when you connect and switch connections. So let's say you connect to port 1234 on this one and then switch the connection to a different system, maybe it's a different environment for whatever it is, to that port, and it wasn't picking up and saving the columns between the connections. The APAR that just came out supposedly has fixed that, so that whether you're connected or not connected, it gets picked up. The columns and where you put them should be there. I haven't, and I'll try this, and I'll try to just get an email back to you, is I haven't played with the sort to see if it remembers. I'm hoping it does, but I don't want to tell you it does because I haven't tried it yet. So I'll just go in and I'll make sure I sort some stuff, save it, and then switch between workspaces and exit and restart and make sure it picks it up. That I know other users have asked for, and I like it too, is in the web user interface views, you have more Boolean logic available to you in the filters and how they're applied for that criteria. In the Explorer, you just get the anding. You don't get the power of less than or equal to, et cetera. So that's something that I'd like to see come down the road. I'm just not sure when we're going to get that.
Okay.
So that would be a difference. Like, so if you had your operations set up and you had a column and you were doing something other than, logical anded, everything is equal, that's not available yet in the current Explorer.
Okay. And then I guess one last comment for Mike, his last question about printing. I'm sure he's aware of this also, but if you use the WUI and print to a file, which is normal HTML, obviously Excel can import that, and you have all that stuff, that same type of stuff in a spreadsheet pretty quickly. We use that quite frequently. But thank you. Thank you, Bill. That was you've answered all my questions. Thank you.
All right. Good to hear from you, Rob. I miss you calling in.
Yes,
because you're over in operations?
Yep.
The next question comes from Tony O'Connell. Your line is open.
Hey, fascinating presentation. Really enjoyed it. First of all, you can actually cut and paste now with the latest release of it. I've done that. I've been able to cut and paste into an Excel spreadsheet, and it works fantastic. My question is involved around if I build a custom view and if I deploy a custom view, will I be able, can I set it up so as that, and I'm sorry about the dogs in the background, can I set it up so as that my operators can disable a file, disable a transaction, but they can't update anything else?
I don't think it can be done with the operational things. I think once you have the view exposed, then they'd be able to choose them. Where they would not be able to do it is when if you controlled it with security, they would fail when they tried to do it.
Yes.
So unless you only offer them, you could go into the command set and you could make in the dropdown, the only thing they have access to is file, in which case then they would have the actions available for file to open, close, and they couldn't get to anything else. But I understand that's probably not what you want. You want them to be able to have read access to the other resources.
Correct, yeah.
Now, what you could do there, and you could probably have different perspectives, you could just have the other one where instead of using the Kix management interface connection type, if you use the data connection type, they would be able to see all the operational views, but in the data interface, there are no actions available, so they can't do anything anyway, because they're not available to them in the data connection.
Yeah, and follow-up to that, like two questions. Like, can I configure it so that they can't add CMCI connection themselves, number one? And number two, if they just downloaded the base product from the IBM website, wouldn't that defeat all of my security? I mean, my precautions, not the security.
Yes, but I would imagine there's other ways you could just control and tell people what they can or can't. I know different places control what a user can actually install onto their work stations. But if those controls aren't in place and you ask them to not install it from the web downloads, I don't have a solution for that. But you're definitely right. Whatever security you have in place will prevent users from doing functions you don't want them to do.
Right. Thank you very much.
And I don't know if anybody on this call is using the IBM Installation Manager to manage their installs, but I know that will give you a little more control. But to answer your other question, I haven't come across it yet, but that's a good idea, is in the Manage Host Connections piece, I will look and see if there's any way to remove connection types. I don't know that there is. But that was your question, right? You want to know if you could take away the management interface connection type and only leave the data connection type as an option or whatever, some form of that?
Right, yeah. Our problem is not so much our users. It's just that, like, our management is afraid that they're going to do something they're not supposed to. So we have to lock all this stuff down and make sure they can't get to it.
The other thing you could do there is if you don't create a CMCI port in the web user interface server, even if they created a Kix management host connection, they would not have a port that they could utilize. So if the only port available is the WUI port, then they would create the only connection that would work would be the data interface connection, and then they'd only have read-only access.
Then they couldn't disable the files and do the little bit of update stuff that we do want them to do.
Right, unless you...
That's okay, yeah.
Unless you offered a different perspective, and in that perspective, the only option they had was file, and when they used that, they connected with the CMCI connection to that WUI server, and then when they get to that perspective, it's okay, all I have is file. I can't do anything else from here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Arshia. Your line is open.
Hi, Chief Dillon. How's it going today?
Very good.
Here. We had two simple questions. Hopefully they are on the plan somewhere because they're very much, they would love to have them. One of them is that in the Kix Explorer, when we are pulling up a request that has a large number of results, we do have our warning screen set up. So if we were in the WUI, it would say, like, you reach, you know, 1,000 items or 10,000 items, do you want to proceed? And sometimes there are valid cases where we do want to proceed anyways. But in the Explorer, we have no way of currently accepting that and moving forward. It's a hard stop. And is there any plans to allow that functionality?
I don't know, but I can find out. And if not, if you send an email to, or you can just go to the request for enhancement and say that we want to be able to see what the warning worker count is, know that it's there, and go ahead and have an option to move forward. But I don't know the answer to that, if there's a plan for it or not right now.
All righty. And then similarly, in the WUI, one of the things we still do a lot of is doing summarizations on views and using that to help drill down into problematic diagnostics and see if something's configured a specific way and then help to tackle what we need to work on. And is there plans to help bring such summaries over to the Explorer as well?
I believe yes. I think that's definitely one of the items that's going to be coming going forward. And the because that's going to be done from the Kix architecture side, the CMCI component, so all the DFHWU prefix modules. So this isn't any of the EYU stuff. So it would be basically having summarization added to the CMCI interface in Kix, and that's I think something that they're looking at, which is why it's not there now. It does take a little bit of work to get the summarization capability done, but it's definitely on the things that they want to do.
Cool beans. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm showing no further questions in the queue.
Okay, thank you, Don. We do have a couple questions in the group chat, and the first one is, may the workbench location be on a network drive, or must it be on the local computer? If network drive is allowed, may these files be shared among many users?
The answer is yes to both as far as the download, but the workspace can't be shared. They could share the workspace, but then they'll wind up with corruption of the environment, which they don't want. But the actual, if you put the Kix Explorer onto a network drive, other users can go ahead and create a shortcut to launch from there, and then in the shortcut they can put in the dash data piece of the shortcut on Windows. And I apologize first about if I'm not talking about Linux. I don't have Linux, so I don't really know. But in Windows, you can go ahead and create a shortcut on your workspace, so it'll launch it from the remote file system to bring the Explorer up and then create the workspace locally, or it can even do that on a remote file system wherever you pointed the path.
Okay, thank you. The second question, will Kix Explorer be able to run on Z Linux? This shop does not allow users to install software on their PCs. This would also save the effort of having the product go through our integration management process.
I don't know if that's been asked before or not. I can follow up with the development guys on that to see if they've heard that. But as far as I'm aware, it's just the distributed Linux-type platforms.
I don't see any other questions in the group chat. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Bill, for presenting today.
You're welcome.